We've been going through the scripture and taking a look at the grape in the scripture, all things related to the grape. Might seem to be a strange subject, but as we looked into it and considered all things related to the grape and the Lord's usage of the grape in the scripture, there's many words that are related to that. Vine, all forms of the word vine, and drunk, all forms of that word. Also wine and the cup, a strong drink and drink offering. These things are related. We take a look at all kinds of different aspects and things connected to this. And we're coming nearer to the end. We're at this point of how the Lord uses these kind of things allegorically. And that's a major part of how it's used, is the allegorical use of it. It's used. It's something that we can understand, these words. All connected to the grape in one way or the other, and words that we can understand in life, but then they're applied to the subjects at hand. And what we want to look at this afternoon is that of God's judgment. John the Baptist preached that that sinners should look to flee from the wrath to come. He gives the warning, and when he's asked about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, there's one coming, matter of fact, is at hand, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He's giving reference to the threshing floor of wheat, where the wheat in the spring or some grain, barley or whatever, would be brought into the threshing floor, a place made with stone, maybe have some sidewalls on it. And the grain would be, in its kernel, would be beaten by kind of, as I understand it, things that would kind of look like rakes. There's even a reference in the scripture about the judgment of God upon, I don't know if it's Israel or otherwise, about threshing instruments of iron, okay? And so not wood. And so what that is it's speaking about just the intensity of it and the heaviness of it. On the threshing floor, the wheat and the grain gets beaten and the husk gets broken up. And John said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. The wheat will be gathered into the garner, but the chaff will be burned with fire unquenchable. And so that's what John, when he's asked about Jesus in the Gospels, that's one of the things that he first mentions, that he is judge. So he's the one that you will reckon with about your life. He tells the religious leaders, and we saw his condemnation of the religious leaders to Israel in that day. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John asked. He said, there's wrath coming. There's judgment coming of the Lord. And it is serious and it is personal. And you need to flee unto him. He'll gather the wheat into the garner. And so that which is fruit, he will gather to himself. There's a future there. And so in a nutshell, sinners like you and I, sinners, we need to be saved, because the chaff, what is found to be chaff, will be burned with fire unquenchable. You won't be able, no one will be able to put out the fire of the judgment of God. And so judgment is something that is mentioned early on at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh by his forerunner, John the Baptist. And so what we want to do is we want to take a look this afternoon at references regarding judgment. And there's so many verses. We'll not go to all the verses, and I know you'll be glad of that. We'll maybe hold this down to two messages. But there's a lot of verses that refer to things, these words, related to the grape. And there's an end of this. So understand, there is an end of this. The subject is so great that it just can't be dealt with in one message session. And it is coming to a point, and we are nearing that indeed. The judgment of God. Psalm 11. Take a look at Psalm 11, verse number 6. We're just going to peruse through the scriptures here and see these references. And this is the word of God, the scriptures inspired by the Lord, right? And so these are the things that the Lord gave these holy men to write down for us. And this is the thinking of the Lord and his use of such. In Psalm 11, verse number 6, upon the wicked shall he, God, rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest, this shall be the portion of their cup. And when you're talking about the cup in Old Testament times, you're not talking about a milk cup or a soda cup, okay? You're not talking about a cup of water. But the reference here to the cup is that would hold the wine. That would be what's at hand. Psalm 75. Take a look here in Psalm 75, verse number 8. If you follow along in your Bible, you won't go to sleep as easily. All right, and we'll look to get there. Psalm 75, verse number 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. So the picture of a cup, it's got wine in it, it's red, it's mixed, and he pours it out. But the dregs thereof, okay, and that's what happens with fermentation. There's always that falls out in fermentation, down in the bottom, the dregs, the solids, the things that form in the chemistry there of fermentation. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them, because they're very, very concentrated. So here it's speaking about his judgment. And it's interesting that the Lord uses those kind of pictures for such. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, of course, and you know, just in summary, the situation with Israel is that Israel has gone away from the Lord, starting in the days of Solomon, resulting in a divided kingdom, Judah and Israel, the two southern tribes and the northern 10 tribes. Isaiah is a prophet that's sent unto Judah, the southern tribe, the southern half of the nation. Israel will go into captivity. The northern 10 tribes will go into captivity to Assyria. And then the Judah and along with Simeon or Benjamin will go into captivity in Babylon. Okay. And the Lord warns them all the way to the time that they don't turn, don't obey, don't change, don't repent, and just keep on sailing downhill until the Lord has had enough. Okay, so Isaiah is in that time that's getting near. So Isaiah 49, let's read here what the Lord says. Verse 24, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord. You see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The translators have done that for us to let us know that's speaking about the Trinity, Jehovah God. Okay, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. So here's a reference, drunken. As with sweet wine, there's a wine reference, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So what's going on here is the Lord says, I'm going to use the nations to chastise you and to punish you. You don't push out, he told them early on, you don't push out, deal with, destroy the inhabitants of Canaan like I've told you to. There'll be pricks in your side and thorns in your eyes. And if you don't do that to them, I will look to do worse to you, he's speaking of his nation, than I sought to do to them. And so what he does is he uses the nations round about, which we saw here some time ago in our studies about the enemies of Israel, and he used them to chastise the nation. But in that, he declares unto Israel and to us through the word of God that those nations that he uses to deal with his own nation, he will take them and in turn judge them for what they have done. Well, Brother Jim, that's just unfair. Listen, you're not dealing with another man here. God is dealing with us. And he does amongst the inhabitants of the earth and among the nations in purity and righteousness and his divine purpose and holiness what is right. And so, yeah, he used Babylonia to be a chastisement to Judah. But then he's going to judge Babylon for what they did because, see, Jacob he loves, and Jacob, Israel, is his nation. And he brought it to chastisement for them, but for the heathen, he will bring it to judgment. And so that's what's being spoken about here, and the interesting how the references are. Chapter 51, let's go to that. Chapter 51, pick it up in verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. And so here he's telling, he said, it's time for this to pass. Thou hast drunken the dregs of trembling and wrung them out. Again, the sediment at the bottom of the fermentation vessel, the skin or the flask or the bottle or whatever. There's always that sediment. And down there, there's a concentration. There's a concentration of, if you will, our understanding is the alcohol. It even makes it, it's even the most intense it can be. And we've taken a look how it is with the fermentation process, that it's self-limiting. But the dregs carry more of that intensity with it. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out, meaning they have been squashed and smashed, and everything that could be got out of them, they have consumed. Not literally, but in the judgment that the Lord has poured out. They have borne it. Verse 18, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Nobody to help. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. There's none to rescue or to help in any way. These two things are coming to thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of fury of the Lord at the rebuke of thy God. Verse 21, therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. So see here, the references are that of the grape, wine, being drunken. But you're not drunk with wine. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. He will bring a relief. He will bring a rescue and salvation. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. So here we see even in plainer language how the Lord, once he is done ultimately with chastising his nation, we know in the end, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, when he sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, at the coming of Christ back to this earth, he will deliver Israel. They will look upon him whom they pierced, and they will mourn like one that lost their only son, because they've seen the Savior who they rejected as a nation has come back to save them. And a portion of Israel that is alive in that day will be saved. They'll be redeemed at the sight of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what will the Lord do? He will begin to turn to the nations of the world. Those very nations that will bring, have during the course of time, like I made a reference to Titus in 70 AD this morning, you know, Israel, once again, Jerusalem was destroyed and Israel was brought low, low, low. In the captivity, they were brought low, low, low. In the Holocaust, they were brought low, 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 even in the dispersion. And the Lord said, it's enough. We've come to the end of it. You've drank of those dregs, and now the time is over. I'm going to bring salvation to you. And then the Lord is going to say, he's going to take the cup, and he's going to give it to the enemies of Israel that he has used to be a chastisement to his nation. And then he will look to pour out his fury upon them. Again, the Lord is dealing with us. We don't tell him what to do. He's doing what he wants to do. Over here in Isaiah 63, take a look over here in verse number 6. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, the Lord says. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. You know, the nations of the world are going to gather against the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, as I described just earlier. And it doesn't matter. Whatever the state-of-the-art technology is in warfare, it will not be able to stand against the Lord. It will not be able to. The scripture tells us that he will fight with them by what he says, the sword of his mouth. And he will say, you're done, and they'll be done. And he will bring great, great deliverance indeed. Oh, what a glorious thing. Listen, if you're here and you're saved, the reason that this is important to know and understand this is that in every reference to the destructive judgment of the Lord, you and I who have been saved, we have been saved from that kind of thing. We have been saved. Now, it's not to say we might not go through troubling times, because we know, as evidenced in Hebrews 11, the saints have gone through difficult and troubling, even deadly times. But from the standpoint of the judgment, the condemnation of the Lord against the heathen, the unbelieving, and the unrepentant, every time you and I read something in the scripture about the judgment of the Lord being poured out as such, we need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Savior, for rescuing me from such a destruction as that. Because that's what he's done. And I think maybe that you can see that that is the beginning of the picture that we begin to see regarding these references in this way to judgment as it is by the Lord. Let's go over to the book of Jeremiah. Listen to what the Lord says here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 13:13. Back up to verse number 12. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word. Now Jeremiah is also a prophet unto Judah. Therefore shalt thou speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord of Israel. Every bottle shall be filled with wine. And they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. He's not talking about, verse 14, and I will dash them one against another, even as the fathers and the fathers and sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. He's not talking about literal wine, is he? But he's talking about his judgment and his destruction. And the thing is the Lord and his power. You know, we think about judgment. We think about the things we've seen on the earth and what men can do to men, what nations can do to nations. It doesn't even compare to what the Lord can do to nations and to people. This of hell and the lake of fire, there is no describing. There are descriptors, and the Lord does tell us things about hell and the lake of fire in the scripture that we might know, but there is no truly understanding the terribleness of that place. There's no comprehension. No, nobody has come back to tell us about it, because once folks go there, they stay there. The judgment of the Lord is permanent and eternal. And as John the Baptist preached, flee that wrath if you're not saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only rescue, the only rescuer that can save you from such a destruction. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 9. Let's read here. 23, verse number 9 of Jeremiah, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom hath wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." See, when the judgment of the Lord gets poured out upon wickedness, I think today, some of us have talked about it a little bit today. I think that very much our nation in our time right now is suffering very much from confusion of faith. We have such great technology. We've been blessed with such big, great blessings, but we can't get anybody to tell the straight story about what's going on. We don't have any common, directed, aligned sense. We've got opportunists working on every facet of everything to take this situation of COVID-19 and direct it to what they want to direct it to. We know it's real. We know people are affected, but we know that many are lying. We know that somewhere in there's some honesty about it, but you just can't hardly find out what it is. And then to have a national plan, we don't have leadership that'll come up with a national plan to deal with this appropriately. And we don't have a people that will even look to follow or want a plan to deal with it. Confusion of faith. Now, you let the Lord start pouring out some judgment. And that's what he says here. It's like drunkenness. It's like there's no ability to stand. There's no soundness at all. And that's what happens. Things unravel and fall apart when the Lord begins to pour out. The words that the Lord spoke against the wickedness of Jeremiah's day, he said, it made me like a man that was drunk. I don't know what to do. I have no strength. I have no ability. I can't even think right. Because remember, in the Lord, we live and move and have our being. We need him to have soundness, just to know how to go in and come in and go out. And so may the Lord help us that we not forget that. And we appeal, we beg our Lord to help us, even as his children in this day in which we live. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 15. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand," so the Lord has it, "and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it." So Jeremiah is going to do some prophesying, and in this figurative sense, he has told him and said, "Take this wine, this cup, and I want you to take it, and I want you to take those nations, and I want you to cause them to drink it." It's a wine of the cup of this fury. It's the fury of the Lord. He's beyond angry. He's beyond wrathful. God is outraged. And not that the Lord never gets out of line. But we might say in this fury that he has become most violent in dealing with the violence at hand. That's what the Lord does. We've seen that in our day. I keep getting on that. I don't know. Well, here we are with it. What have we seen? The violent rise up and they say they want to take over an area. And what do? They govern it with violence. I mean, it's a mess. You know what the Lord does? The Lord deals with the violent violently to bring peace. I'm preaching about that on the radio. Because see, the Lord doesn't go around tormenting people, in the general sense. I mean, unbelieving and unrepentant are in hell and will be sent to hell unless they turn from their ways and repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves their souls. But the Lord will take, and in the end, when he comes, our Lord Jesus comes to this earth, he will deal with the violent and the rebellious violently. But you know what he'll do? He'll bring peace. He won't be stirring up another war or another battle over here until violence or rebellion pops up. And then he'll smack it with his rod of iron. But here, how it is with us, We know as a people, as a world, we know no peace because the violent take over with violence and then they want to rule with violence. As we mentioned earlier with the leadership, no meekness, no care. The Lord cares. The Lord does well. And so he is, as we might say, fit to be tied with this. And he tells Jeremiah, take this cup. Verse 16, it goes on to say, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad. They'll be crazy with it. Now, are they going to literally drink something down into their gullet? No. This is the wrath of God. This is the judgment of God come upon them because of the sword that I will send among them. Jeremiah says, then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. He goes on to say, to wit Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. He said, I gave it to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his servants and princes and his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the lands of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Asa, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and the kings of Tyrus, and the kings of Zidon, the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, which may be you and me, Dedan, and Tema, and Buz, and all that are in the othermost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and the kings of the Medes. See, there's Medes and the Persians, they were pretty powerful there after they took Babylonia, weren't they? Not before the Lord. Not before the Lord. Verse 26, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts and the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken and spew. Isn't that a terrible picture? But that's what happens when somebody gets physically drunk. They get to where they can't even keep stuff in their mouth, right? We've all seen that. We've witnessed that to one degree or another. To lose the ability to even control the muscles of your face. And take what's being drunk and then spew it back out. It's a terrible picture. But see, that's the terribleness and the of sin and iniquity and disobeying God and the judgment that it brings. It is destruction, destruction indeed. Drink ye, in the midst of verse 27, and be drunken and spew and fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, see, I think about those nations that have persecuted Israel and Jerusalem that stand against the Lord. And I tell you what, they're there, they're mighty, they're gathered together from all the corners of the earth. And, they're gathered together against Israel like it is, you know, an elephant looking to swat a gnat. And then miraculously, the Lord shows, he comes and he delivers Israel. And the world at that time is gathered together in the greatest power and ability that they have. And then at the appearing of the Lord, they will have no ability to fight. And what they have to fight with just won't even matter. And Brother Jim, that just sounds like pie in the sky. I tell you what, it's not pie in the sky. It's what the Lord tells us in his word. They won't be able to think. They won't be able to do. And they will be subject, as all of the creation is subject, to the word of God. The sword that I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink. So Jeremiah, in this figurative sense, is taking this cup and putting it to the mouth of the king. He said, no, I'm not drinking that. Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished? He said, if I'm going to take care and straighten out my own place, my own nation, my own city, Jerusalem, that is beloved unto me, do you think you're going to escape Arabia? Do you think that you're going to escape Russia? Do you think that you're going to escape Europe, Africa, United States? Do you think you're going to escape? No, you're not going to escape. You're going to drink of the cup too. Shall ye be unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. That kind of settles it, doesn't it? Everywhere, saith the Lord of hosts. So the judgment. Interesting that the Lord uses this terminology to describe it, isn't it? I think there's a reason for it. I think there is a reason for it. But this is just widespread. I mean, it's just this way across the scriptures. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah is just loaded with it. Let's go to chapter 46. And read a few more verses here. And then we'll close. Jeremiah 46. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse number 10. Verse 7. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt rises up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up, I will cover the earth, I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots. Let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge of him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate. It shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. Speaking about his sword. For the Lord, that means there's going to be much bloodshed. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain thou shalt use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. Here he talks about his sword of judgment and that it will become drunk with the blood. You know, the scripture tells us that at the Battle of Armageddon, that the blood is going to flow as high as the horse bridle. And, there's doubters of that. As we look at that logically, it's hard for us to comprehend, even if that is a little horse. I don't know a lot about horses. I know you measure their height and hands. But even if that's a little horse, that's a lot of blood. But the destruction is going to be great. All carried out by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 48, we see in verse number 26, make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Speaking of Moab, Moab also shall wallow in his vomit, and he also shall be in derision of the Lord. The Lord will look on at Moab like a spectacle, as a spectacle. You know, and that's a terrible picture about wallowing around in vomit, but for those that do drink and become drunken and so drunk that they just lose control of themselves, it's a thing that happens, isn't it? Well, that's what the Lord, he's taking from that thing that is known amongst men, and he's bringing it here to understand the gravity of the judgment of the Lord and how it is going to be the way that it is. It's a terrible, terrible picture. And Moab is going to be dealt with and judged this way, held in derision, contempt, by the Lord. You and I here, we're reading the words. What if we added all the sound and the smell to it all? I tell you what, it'd paint a great picture, wouldn't it? And sometimes that we do well with the scriptures to try to take in the whole scene, not just so it is described with words, but to see the scene and try to understand everything related to it. It's a terrible picture, isn't it? And why is it that the Lord uses drunkenness to describe this? Why is it? Why is it that he does so? We'll stop right there. Judgment. So many references. Here we've just taken a look at a few from Psalms to Jeremiah. There was more in Ezekiel, and there's more in Revelation and Zechariah that, Lord willing, we'll take a look at. Like I said, I don't want to preach endless messages about it, but I want us to get the picture and understanding about that. The Lord, when he inspired the scriptures to our brethren, to the prophets, he did it in this way. He did it in this way for a reason. And may the Lord help us to understand the full impact and import of the reasoning for him using this kind of language. As blessed as the grape is unto mankind, you know, like I told you early on, I like eating grapes. That grapes are good, and raisins and that. And I like grape juice. I've got some grape juice over there in the fridge, and I'm going to go, Lord willing, go have me some here this afternoon. It's really a blessing, isn't it? But there's just something about that and the Lord's usage of that that does indeed stand out in the scriptures, doesn't it? And that's what we're looking to see and understand more, if we can, about why that the Lord has done. Even it reaches blessing that we've seen so much about blessing, but then here all the way to judgment, which is the most terrible and most impactful and compromising thing to mankind. I tell you what, if you're here and you're not saved, you are not ready to stand before your Creator, the Savior, the Judge, without having the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not ready. And we point you to him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him. His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Without him, you have no help or no hope. No amount of religion or things that you would try to pay or do. None of that. What the scripture tells us in the book of Isaiah, that on our best day, and the best that we could ever do is as a filthy rag before the Lord. That's our best point, our best moment of our life. It's like a filthy rag before the Lord. We need the imputed. We need the given righteousness of Christ unto us, that we might stand righteous before the Father, if you will, by what Jesus Christ has done. And it's not received by payment. It's not received by promise. It's received by faith and trusting in him and what he did, to believe that he did that for you, that you're the sinner that needs saving. As Brother John the Baptist preached it, and I find myself here, I guess it's because of these days, just declaring it over and over, he said, flee the wrath to come, because it's coming. And you won't believe. I mean, you and I, what I mean, you and I cannot comprehend how terrible that judgment will be. Flee to Christ.